Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Oh, yes, let the good times roll. It's New Orleans and the Zurich Classic. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. And Alex, rain, and probably some more rain in New Orleans. Just unbelievable the amount of moisture that's hit the ground, and not only in at New Orleans, obviously the major flooding and everything in Texas, but at some point, this system has to move out of here.
Well, Bob, you know, I'm not going to say that New Orleans is a dirty city, but it's a lot cleaner after this little belly washer for about 5 days worth. And, you know, if you had rain gear in New Orleans, you're probably going to toss it away after what they've gone through. Players absolutely hate finishing on Monday. And the way things are going after being reduced down to 54 holes, you got to wonder if they might even go to Tuesday.
Well, it seems like the latest plan, and of course, we have to do this show on Monday morning, so it's imperative. And last report I got from New Orleans just a couple of minutes ago, early on Monday morning, it was clearly stated it is going to be a 54-hole event, and it looks like the window of opportunity to finish that third round looks pretty good at this point. So I would suspect they're not going to be playing tomorrow.
Well, anything's possible. It is the PGA Tour, remember.
Yeah, I realize that, and I know they would love to get it to be a 72-hole event. In looking back on 54-hole events, Alex, it was kind of surprising. I guess the record holder for winning 54-hole events has to be Dustin Johnson. He's won three of them. I don't think anybody in the history of the PGA Tour has won three 54-hole events, mainly because they're so rare. Most years we go without even one 54-hole event being contested.
Well, my question to you on that is, you bring up that stat, and I know Adam Scott won one that was actually only 36 holes back at Riviera during the Northern Trust Open. But that stat is so compelling because we've seen Dustin Johnson be in 54-hole leads a lot of times and not get it done. It does really say something about his ability to play through 54 holes when the pressure really isn't on, and what happens on the last round. You got to wonder how many of those 54-hole events he would have won if they had gone to conclusion.
Very good point there, Alex. And, you know, you never know what Dustin would do. We don't know really how well he was playing when he got those 54-hole leads. But still, I think it's unusual for somebody to win three times on the PGA Tour in 54-hole events. Pretty remarkable. I know this event had a 54-hole event, but that was way back in, I believe, 1985, and it was Seve Ballesteros defeating John Mahaffey coming down the stretch to win a 54-hole event in New Orleans.
Well, I think Peter Jacobson might have been there as well, but look, you know, the bottom line of this is every one of these events is important now. You know, depending on how well you play at Zurich, you get into the players, or possibly getting into the players, you know, top 50 in the world, you know, trying to get yourself set up to get into the U.S. Open, which we'll start looking at that pretty soon in regards to top 50 in the world and top 10. And I think FedEx Cup standings gets into the U.S. Open under an exemption. So these are all important. And, you know, as you know, too, Bobby, winning on the PGA Tour is a big deal. And there's a lot of guys that are experiencing that over the last, like, I would say 2 years that had never won before. It means so much, you know, outside of the 2 years, and taking a lot of pressure off, I think, is the biggest thing.
Well, you mentioned big deal. We certainly would be remiss here in the grill room if we didn't pay special note to the unbelievable job done by the TPC Louisiana Golf Course Superintendent. His name is Brandon Reese and his entire crew. I know there were many volunteers who came from other clubs in the area to help out. It was just a tough job to keep the course playable after the incredible amount of rain, but somehow they did it.
Well, you know, Bob, speaking of golf course superintendents, the Thank Your Golf Course Superintendent sweepstakes is now underway from May 1st through May 31st. Golfers can visit gcssa.org/thanksasuper to thank their superintendent and be entered in to win a trip to the 2016 American Century Cerber League Golf Championship, which is July 21st to the 24th in beautiful South Lake Tahoe, California. Vote your superintendent now. Just go to gcssa.org/thankasuper. Register your vote for a chance to win and also get that trip to beautiful Lake Tahoe.
And you've been there many times, Alex. It is a very, very special place.
No question about that. I think Irishman Seamus Power was in a very special place, even after having a bogey three round on Sunday to win the United Leasing and Finance Championship, first Irishman ever to win on the Web.com Tour. You know, Bobby, again, winning is important, but when you got a name, Seamus Power, I think that's even doubly important to the PGA Tour to have that name winning. That's a great name for a golfer.
Well, I think with those credentials, he probably would be leading at Zurich with that background and that name. He'd probably be leading Zurich by 10 shots had he been playing in that instead of the Web.com Tour. You know, we have to mention that Zurich is an important event in its own right because, there's only a couple of weeks left to become eligible for the Players' Championship. There are three ways for our listeners interested in how you get into the Players. One, obviously, would be moving into the top 50 in the official world golf ranking. Two, winning the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Or three, moving into the top 10 in FedEx Cup standings. And obviously, everybody wants to get to tee it up at the Players.
Absolutely. Gosh, what would you do if you didn't get to tee it up at the Players?
Well, strongest field in golf and really a prestigious title. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know where you sit on this position. Well, be perfectly candid, I never know where you sit on any position, so that certainly doesn't come as a surprise. But I think it's the fifth, most prestigious tournament to win. I guess you got an argument now, and it'd be interesting to take a poll of the Players. Would they rather win the Players' Championship, or would they rather win an Olympic gold medal? Where do you think Players would sit on that one?
Well, I don't think that's a fair comparison to the Olympic gold medal. I mean, the Players' Championship's been around for a while. It's an event that it's the Players' event. So I think that'd be a little unfair comparison, especially after what we've had go on recently. But look, the Players' Championship is a big event. But there are so many big events after you get past the majors, Bob. I mean, any World Golf Championship event is a big event. You can look at, say, Arnold Palmer's a big event. You can say Memorial's a big event. I don't think that you can just all of a sudden say there's a one that's specifically after the four majors that's such a big event. I mean, I can tell you most of the Europeans would probably tell you that the BMW is the biggest event they play after the four majors. And obviously France this year with the French Open being the 100th anniversary, all the guys that are deciding not to go to Bridgestone and going to France, obviously that's a big event for them. So I'm not going to sit there and say one event is bigger than another after we get past the top four. I will say that Sawgrass is a good golf course, but we play a lot of good golf courses now on the PGA Tour.
Well, I was just referencing the fact that I think without a question of a doubt, probably the strongest field in professional golf. I mean, and normally have 98, 99 of the top 100 players in the world.
Well, so do some of the majors sometimes, too. I mean, obviously the Masters doesn't. PGA Championship can make the same claim generally. I think the U.S. Open is probably more interesting and more compelling than the Players, no matter who's in the field. So, you can talk about the strength of field, we have strong events every week, so that doesn't really make a difference to me. I think what makes a difference is the golf course and what happens over the 4 days. And, you know, the Players is set up to create some drama at the end, but it's not created to it's not set up to create as much drama as some other events. So I'm just good with the fact that the Players is a big event and go forward. And it's hard to believe that anybody, I'm not criticizing Lou Oosthuizen or Adam Scott or Charles Schwartzel or, in fact, Vijay Singh for not going to the Olympics. But it's hard to believe that in the years that we've lived, that the Olympics aren't such a big thing, just generally, not in golf, but generally, that a player wouldn't want to win a gold medal.
I'll put it to you this way, I think, so our listeners can share in your reaction, Alex. If we take a poll of everybody that even has the potential to get to the Olympics, and we say, look, you could win the Olympic gold medal or you could win one of the four majors in golf currently, what are you going to take? Hands down, everyone's going to take a major. So to jeopardize because of, you know, how cramped the schedule is between the British and the Players Champion, I mean the PGA Championship, I take the position the Players are doing the right thing, focusing on the majors. And hey, the Olympics, you know, if it moves forward, it's going to move forward at least one more year. We don't know if it's going to move forward more than that. They're going to have to take another vote. You know, the timing of it, the schedule, something has to be done. What we're trying to accomplish this year, I don't think is very fair to the Players.
Well, let's back up for a second. First of all the majors have been played before the Olympics. So that, and the fact that a player would get a week off, basically, after the PGA Championship, they would get travelers off before they'd have to go to Rio. In fact, it's like 10 days before they'd have to get down to Rio, so they have a couple days of practice on the golf course before they'd have to play. So I don't think that's an issue. I think the issue is, and I completely understand it, by the way, I'm not criticizing these players. I kind of understand the fact that the schedule was pretty much jam-packed. But I don't blame the players for a jam-packed schedule, first of all. I blame the people that said they wanted the Olympics in golf, and that was partly the PGA Tour. They're the ones that put this schedule together. They're the ones that said at the beginning of this whole process that they weren't going to have an event opposite the Olympics, and now there's an event opposite the Olympics. European Tour doesn't have an event opposite the Olympics. So that's the first problem. The second problem is if the PGA Tour wouldn't commit to all these sponsors on when the days have to be of their events, if Deutsche Bank doesn't have to finish on the Monday of Labor Day, if the Tour Championship didn't have to be played in certain places or finished at a certain time, if Memorial didn't have to be 2 weeks before the U.S. Open. You know, there's a lot of different things that go on in this process. And all I'm going to say is that this isn't on the players. The players get to play in what they want to play in, and I understand that. This is on scheduling. And you can't sit there and say it's a jam-packed schedule this year, it's a problem. It was known to be an issue 4 and 5 years ago when they were putting this thing together. And this is the best they could come up with. This is the best minds in golf came up with this schedule. So before you start railing on, you know, that the players have to worry about majors, the majors are done. But I do understand the issue with the schedule because, look, you come back, if you come back from the Olympics, you basically have to turn around and play Barclays.
Yes, you're right, Alex, because the FedEx Cup playoffs, everything's jammed. One quick question I have for you before we move on. We have that list that you mentioned, Schwartzel, Oosthuizen, Scott, Vijay Singh. Do you anticipate any more defections at this juncture?
No, I know that the tours do, but I don't think so. I think where we're going to be, and it's interesting, no U.S. players are defecting.
Well, that's pretty good. I tell you what, we got to take a break, but when we come back, guess what? My favorite subject, and the one Alex hates the most, we're going to talk Tiger.
The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Golfin, Alex, G-O-L-P-H-I-N. It's the innovative, award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. Golfin is leading the movement. These amazing clubs are scientifically proven to help kids progress from beginners to winners. They're easy to swing, easy to hit, and easy to get the ball in the air. Golfin's clubs are a must for all young golfers. And you can visit Golfin, G-O-L-P-H-I-N.com. That's Golfin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and Talk Sport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, I mentioned it before we went to break. Time to bring him up again. I don't know where he stands. Maybe Alex has some inside information. If he does have it, he probably won't share it. The rumor had it that he was going to play, at Wells Fargo. I didn't think that would be a good golf course to come back. Of course, we're talking about Tiger. What have you heard? Anything from the inside, Alex?
Well, Bob, I'm about as far from the inside as possible in Tiger's camp. Obviously there's the first thing, which is he's registered for the U.S. Open, which is perfunctory, I know, but still he's done it. So he has an anticipation that he's going to potentially be there. He finished the last time they had the U.S. Open there back in, I think, 07, finished a shot away from winner Angel Cabrera tied with Jim Furyk. So it's clearly a venue that he liked at the time. But, of course, that was a long time ago. Secondly, we know that he's arranged for housing at Memorial, which the same house he gets every year. Again, that does not mean he's going to be at Memorial, but it is an indication that he's interested in participating or playing. I never thought he would be at Wells Fargo for a couple of reasons. One, I agree with you. It's a difficult golf course, narrow fairways. I don't think that would be the place that you'd want to come back if you've been out for about 9 or 10 months. Secondly, that if he did come to Wells Fargo and did participate, then there would be all this pressure on him to go to the Players' Championship. And I don't think he really loves going to the Players' Championship and participating in the Players, even though he has won the event. So I think that would mean that he knew that he could easily then skip Players without a problem. I think Memorial makes the most sense for many reasons, partly because of the fact that if he doesn't start at Memorial, I just don't see how you could come back and come back as your debut in 2016 at Oakmont, which I can tell you from playing it a week ago, maybe the hardest golf course on the planet.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Oakmont and your personal experience. I just want to tidy up a little bit on Tiger. When I think about the return to maybe Memorial, Jack Nicklaus, it kind of would be nice, Tiger, paying a little bit of tribute to Jack Nicklaus in that event. I mean, it's a huge event already, but if it was the re-entry for Tiger Woods into professional golf, I mean, the coverage would be incredible.
Well, I think that it would get certainly a lot of focus, and we'll see what happens if he does it. But, that would mean that he would That means we wouldn't be back for a month because you still have, after players, you have Byron Nelson and you have Colonial. So that means he's still not going to be back for a month. So I think in a month's time, considering what you've been seeing, him hitting balls and doing different things, and we're slowly getting – we're getting – actual footage of him versus people talking about what they hear about him. See, we're actually seeing him do things. That's why it seems to indicate to me that he's going to be back. And I think it would be Memorial. I don't see him going to Byron Nelson per se, and I certainly don't see him going to Colonial.
Well, certainly Davis Love would like to see him play on the Ryder Cup team. He's made it pretty clear that he would love to have Tiger on the team. By the way, right now, who the top eight who are qualified as it stands, if the Ryder Cup was played tomorrow, would be Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Brant Snedeker, Zach Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson, and Patrick Reed. And then there are four guys right behind: J.B. Holmes, who just won a couple of weeks ago in Texas, Bill Haas, great player, Brooks Koepka certainly wants to get on that team, Charlie Hoffman, also a winner. I think I had J.B. Holmes winning in Texas a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it was Charlie Hoffman. So the guys trailing the top eight, Alex, are knocking on that door. All of those players want to be on that Ryder Cup team.
You know, it's interesting, Bob, is maybe the hottest guy is the last guy you mentioned, Charlie Hoffman. Out of all those guys right now, Charlie Hoffman is the most deserving in 2016 to be on that team. Play has played well most of the year, as you said, winning, probably could have won another one. Faced down Patrick Reed in what was a pretty good showdown at Valero. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it's hard to believe that when you mention that crew there, that group, that Tiger Woods could break into that, considering what he's been able to do, or I should maybe say what he's not been able to do over the past couple of years. I just don't see how he makes that group.
Well, I don't think he's going to make it on point, certainly. But there's little doubt in my mind that if he's healthy and he shows some form, not necessarily winning form, but competitive form, that Davis Love maybe for inspirational purposes. Who knows what his motivation would be, but I think Davis Love would certainly pick Tiger to play when we get to Hazeltine later on this season.
All right, Ryder Cup. That's enough of that, Bobby. Big, big news this week. John Daly, long John Daly, debuting in Houston. I know you're going to have a chance to be there at the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands. You know, there's probably very few things that have been bigger on the Champions Tour over the last 5 years, but John Daly showing up.
No, I agree. I had an opportunity over the weekend to talk to Willie Wood, two-time winner on the Champions Tour, and he said the consensus is every one of the players is very excited about having John Daly. They figure they'll get more coverage, more attention. Obviously, it boils down to this as far as I'm concerned. John Daly certainly could be a big deal on the Champions Tour, but he's going to have to play well. If he doesn't play well, that story burns out rapidly.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, he's got some health issues, so we'll see if he can get through it. But it's only three rounds, so that's the good thing. The bad thing is John is John, so that could be a problem. Ian Woosnam defending his title this week there in Houston. But the other part of the part of the Insperity Invitational, which I love, is the 3M Greats of Golf. That's on Saturday after the round, Bob, an 18-hole scramble. Nicklaus, Player, and Trevino versus David Graham, Tom Weisskopf, and Tony Jacklin, as well as Hale Irwin, Ben Crenshaw, and Dave Stockton. Boy, I'll tell you, usually you get that headliner group together, and that's a big tournament.
No, it really is, and certainly exciting for all the fans in the greater Houston area to be able to come out and watch those greats of the game. Ben Crenshaw, first time he's going to be participating. Obviously a very popular player, having grown up and learned his game in Austin, Texas. Now, let's move on. Jim Furyk, guess what, Alex? He's finally healthy. He's going to play this week at the Wells Fargo Championship. been out of action since the BMW last September, had some wrist surgery in the fall, but he said he's also going to play in the playoffs. That's good news. Jim Furyk, one of the nice guys out there, and we're certainly happy to at least hear the prognosis. At this point, the wrist is doing fine.
Well, you know, it's pretty hard, Bob, when he would have gotten all the way to the Tour Championship. So he would have been in the top 30 in the FedEx Cup. He was, I think, 13th maybe in the world at the time he left. So, and he was definitely in the hunt where he needed to be for the Ryder Cup and would have been on the President's Cup team. Missed all of that, basically, because of the wrist injury. So let's see what happens starting now for Jim Furyk. Li Haotong, winner of the Volvo China Open. It's a huge, huge win for Tung, because he's maybe the face of Chinese golf. You see him playing a lot of different events, including the HSBC, where he's played numerous times and played well. Big win for Tung. I don't know if you can explain it as much as I think we will look back 5 or 10 years from now and realize how good of a player he really is.
Yeah, and we may be able to draw comparisons, Alex, when Siri Pak, I think it was 1998, at the Women's Open, burst onto the scene from South Korea. There really was no South Korean females that were at the top of the ladies' game, and now they dominate the top of the ladies' game, and certainly could be the blueprint for Chinese players. Maybe 10 years down the road, they have a lot of them. They work hard. They have a lot of talent. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. By the way, Alex, I want to get your insight. I know you had an opportunity to go to Media Day at Oakmont. How was it? How was the golf course? Is the excitement building in the area? I mean, certainly Oakmont, one of the traditional U.S. Open golf courses. I know I'm looking forward to going there. Give me your reaction. You were there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're absolutely correct. Oakmont is a traditional venue. It's also one of those venues that when you step on the property, even if you don't know there was going to be a U.S. Open there, it would play like a U.S. Open. You wouldn't have to do much to it, if at all, to have a U.S. Open at any time. What I will say is this, Bob. I think there'll be a lot of screaming and yelling by players. They understand U.S. Opens are supposed to be hard. But I could honestly say that you could hit the middle of the fairway, your ball could land in the middle of the fairway on over half the holes, and you'd either find it at the end in the rough or in a bunker. And I think it's going to be a very, very difficult test for most of these guys. I know how good these players are. They're very, very good. But you got to remember, I think 5 over won last time. So that just gives you an understanding of how hard it was then. I think it's going to be just as brutal this time. So we'll see what happens.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
I know that you had an opportunity to have an interview with Richard Massey, who's the VP of Operations for DST Golf. And I think what's interesting about DST Golf is that Richard would be out on the range, kind of just, you know, as most equipment companies will do, kind of showing their product to different players. And, all of a sudden, Henrik Stenson picked it up one day. I think we were on the European Tour at the time, and tried it and said, wow, this is really, really good. And it's basically a bent shafted club. And then Pete Cowan, the renowned instructor, took it as well and took a look at it and suggested that every player should practice with this type of club. So let's hear a little bit more about this club. from Mr. Massey.
Just had a lesson and I'm really psyched. This game is easy if you do it right. I got the perfect tips on how to hit the ball. Now all I have to do is remember them all. Come on.
Alex, I know our listeners are going to enjoy our next guest because we're going to help solve the problem that people have without realizing it. On Sunday afternoon, they get in front of their television to watch the last 18 holes of a golf tournament, and they see this kind of swing, that kind of swing, all kinds of swings. What they don't see is the majority of the best players, the last 6 inches of the swing are what really count. And our next guest, his name is Rich Massey, and he's with DST Golf. You've come up with something, Rich, I'm going to tell you right up front, that really has me excited. Your club trains people to come into the impact zone on a consistent basis, and that's really all you need in golf.
You know, that is the key. First of all, thanks for having me on. I certainly appreciate it. And but back to what you said, no question about it. I mean, ultimately, it, as you just said before, there's so many different ways to get the job done. No matter what the swing philosophy is out on tour, pretty much everybody agrees where you need to be at impact. And Bertie Cordell, the inventor of the DST, just came up with a brilliant idea to help people not only visually identify the optimum impact position before they even start their swing, but more importantly, to train that optimum impact position, you know, on a daily basis or whenever they get a chance. And it doesn't really require that much. It just takes the knowledge of knowing where it's at and the feel for how to get there.
You know, the key component of any great golf swing is the amount of lag that you put into your swing. And that's exactly what your training club continues to influence.
No question about it. I mean, we have what we call the hand position alignment marker, which is on the hosel of the golf club. And just to let your listeners know what that is, it's basically a line on the hosel of the golf club that if you lean the shaft forward at address and that line on the hosel matches up with the bottom groove, that allows you to identify what the optimum impact position is. So before the player ever takes it back, they're going to know where they need to get to at impact. And most people have no concept of where proper impact position is. And if they don't know where it is, the odds of them ever getting there are virtually none. And the example I always give people joking around is if I said, hey, meet me for lunch, and I didn't tell you what restaurant, you'd never find it, right? So if you don't know where the proper impact position is, you know, the odds of you getting there aren't very good. So by allowing the player to identify that optimum impact position before they ever take it back, allows them to have an idea of where they need to get to at impact. And that's very powerful. I mean, most people don't understand that, you know, the human body is athletic. And if you tell it where it needs to go, it has a pretty good chance of getting to that position.
I never hear the average player talk about the lag in their swing. And this club helps develop that, which is the key component.
When you set up at address in that position where the shaft is leaning forward, you've already created that angle or that lag, let's say. You're putting yourself in the impact position already. So just by doing that, you've simplified the golf swing. Most people just have never had that sensation, as you mentioned. I mean, so again, this is the first time we'll ever be able to actually identify the impact position and also develop the feel for having that proper lag and that position at impact with the shaft leaning forward and the hands, of course, leading the club head through impact.
Well, if our listeners aren't excited yet, they will be when I say that one of the outstanding teachers in this game, and I've been friends with them all, is a gentleman by the name of Pete Cowan. He firmly believes in this. If you haven't heard the name Pete Cowan, well, he just happens to be the coach of Danny Willett, who's wearing an awfully pretty green jacket as we speak. Rich, tell us how to get more information on DST Golf.
Sure. The best place for your listeners to go is dstgolf.com. They'll be able to purchase any of the clubs at that website, and also be able to read about the inventor and the technology and how to basically just easily improve their golf game.
A training aid to the pros. Rich Massey, thanks for joining us in the Grill Room. Always a pleasure. Hope to talk to you real soon.
You're listening to the Grill Room.
All right. Well, we want to thank Richard Massey for giving us that insight into that club. And, you know, Bob, there's a lot of different instructional products on the market. It's always hard to find one that you think is going to help you. Not everyone, no matter who's playing them, not everyone is going to help you. But this does have a lot of merit, I think.
I agree with you, Alex. And all I have to do is walk up and down the range now of any PGA Tour event, and I see more and more and more of these clubs. So if you want to improve your swing, maybe this is the answer.
Well, that's it for this week. You've been listening to The Grow Room, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com. Next week, we'll bring you a comprehensive preview of the Players' Championship.
And a big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, also to Golfin, Innovative Clubs for Kids, and to GolfWeek.com. So on behalf of Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, I'm issuing a big thank you and saying that we really appreciate you being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.